There was once a Judean mother who held a bouncing baby boy on her lap. What's more precious than the birth of a child? And then the hard part, giving that child a name. This mother had already apparently settled on a name. By the way, it's a name that still stirs emotions. It's a name that even today labels the character of a person. Because this child's name was Judas. Judas Iscariot. There's a reason why parents don't name their little boys Judas anymore. Now, you might name a goat Judas, but not your baby boy. Why? Because of a man who lived 2,000 years ago named Judas Iscariot. Now, we all know about the sins of Judas. He was, in fact, a hypocrite of the hypocrites. Because one moment he behaved like a dedicated disciple of Jesus, even an apostle. And the next, he stole money given to help the needy. But his betrayal was, of course, selling out the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, which in that day and even today is a relatively small amount for such a betrayal. It was dark that night. Jesus was alone praying in the garden so intensely that sweat poured off him as if drops of blood. The apostles, minus Judas, was nearby sleeping. And then the quiet of that garden was shattered by the approaching footsteps and then voices, angry voices of temple guards. And then one man stepped forward. It was him, Judas Iscariot. And he said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed Jesus. And Jesus asked him, Luke 22:48, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" The sin of Judas will echo through eternity. He sold out Jesus to the enemies. We all understand that Jesus has won the war. He's in fact already won the war. But the battle of Satan for the soul of Judas, it was raging. Earlier that night at the Last Supper, John asked Jesus who the betrayer was. And in John 13:26, Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I've dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Listen to me. Are you listening? Satan is doing everything that he can do to win the battle for your soul, for my soul. And so what can we learn from Judas Iscariot as this battle rages against Satan? Well, let's just go back to the beginning and see some important things about Judas. In fact, Judas, if he was alive today, would fit into any congregation of the Lord's people. Think about this. If the real Judas had been transparent, he could have never been accepted by the other apostles of Jesus. He appeared to be a man of good moral character. He obviously was a man with a good reputation. And so why did he appear to be something that he was not? Well, Think about this. First of all, he was in the right crowd. I mean, you're talking about good friends. How could you improve on being one of the 12 chosen apostles of Jesus? And then daily, he walked and talked and ate and lived with Jesus for about 3 years. Evil companions, you know, Paul said evil companions corrupt good morals. Evil companions were not the source of Judas's weaknesses and sin. We all know that godly friends are important. We were taught that from the time we were children. And yet, at the same time, they are not a guarantee of heaven. I heard about an old preacher who was walking home late one night, and he met an old drunk on the sidewalk, and he knew the man, and he helped him make his way back home. And at the door, he asked the drunkard if he could make it on into the house, and the drunk knocked on his own door and said, "Wait a minute, preacher, till my wife comes to the door. I want her to see the company I keep." Well, coming to church and making church friends, that's really important. But I want you to understand something. We don't have anything on Judas. He had the right friends. Secondly, Judas had a good reputation. In John 13, we find, again, Jesus and the apostles eating the feast of unleavened bread. And Jesus certainly confused them, all of them, when he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And so did everyone, all the 11 of the others, did they immediately turn and look at Judas? No way. No way. The apostle John was leaning on Jesus, and Peter motioned him to ask Jesus who the betrayer would be. And so he asked, verse 25, "Lord, who is it?" And again, no one was suspecting Judas. We read the passage a while ago in verse 26. Jesus told John, "It is to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I've dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And it, even at that, it's amazing, but no one suspected Judas, not even John. Jesus then told Judas, "What you do, do quickly." They still didn't get it. Look at verse 28. "But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, 'Buy those things we need for the feast,' or that he should give something to the poor." And so here's Judas, the valued, trusted treasure. And not one of them could have dreamed that he was a thief and a betrayer. He had a good reputation. Another reason he appeared to be something that he was not was that he was a religious man. He worked side by side with the other apostles, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. They'd already gone out on a limited mission, spreading the word of the kingdom of God, that it was at hand. Outwardly, this was a religious man, period. But inwardly, he was spiritually ill, maybe spiritually dead. Inside, there was rot. He was rotten. And the amazing thing is, God and Jesus both knew. They knew it all. All of it. Sometimes we tend to forget that because we as human beings are very easily deceived by outward actions. But we all know it takes more than being in the right circle of friends. It takes more than a good reputation. And it takes more than appearing to be righteous or religious. Which brings us to an interesting question. why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot? Now, please understand, Jesus did not make a mistake. John 2:25 says this about Jesus. He had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew the hearts. He knew what Judas was thinking. He knew that Judas had the ability to steal, that he was more than willing to betray even him. He said in John chapter 6, verse 64, "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." Jesus knew. But that raises the question, so why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot? That's a question that has a variety of answers among biblical scholars. Maybe a better question for us would be, what can we learn? What can you and I learn from this selection? I mean, think about this. Jesus' choice of Judas can actually be an encouragement to us. You're probably thinking, what? Well, we find a very interesting passage in Acts chapter 1. The disciples are looking back to what Judas did and why he did it. Acts 1:15, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples all together. The number of names was about 120. And said, 'Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now, this man purchased the field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem. So this field is called in their own language, Akeldama. That is, field of blood. For it is written," Peter says, "for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." And so, yes, Judas's betrayal fulfilled prophecy. But are there lessons for us? Yes, there are lessons for us. Judas being chosen as one of the 12 is an encouragement to all of us. Every one of us have to deal with some Judases in our life, like Jesus did. But the other apostles, I want you to notice something. They didn't quit. Judas betrayed their Lord. But no matter how discouraging that was, they're going to endure the storm. It's going to be tough, but they're going to endure the storm, and they're going to continue serving the Lord. Yes, they were confused, and no doubt they were heartbroken. But when they later gathered with Jesus on the shores of Galilee, they understood. That's a lesson for us. Some refused to become a Christian because of a Judas. Well, if there's that kind of hypocrite stand there, I'm not going to be a part of it. Some disciples of Christ, Christians, walk away from God, walk away from Jesus because of Judas. If that's the way I'm going to be treated, I don't want anything to do with it. They don't say with God or with Christ or with heaven or with hope. It. But Judas reminds us that some folks are going to say the right things. They're going to appear to have a great reputation. They're even going to look religious. But they are a Judas. And the truth is going to come out at some point. And the truth is they're crooked. They're rotten to the core. And they'll hurt you. And they'll betray you. And listen to me. You and I must never allow a Judas to send us out in the darkness. To drive us away from the Lord. Where we can't walk in the light and draw near to God. And allow Him to draw near to us. Never allow that to happen. The disciples, the apostles, taught us a powerful lesson here. In the midst of this terrible storm, when the light began to shine, they were there, ready to follow. Judas is also a powerful reminder that anyone, I mean anyone, can walk away from the Lord, to never return, to be lost eternally. And that's why Paul warned the Corinthians to allow the unfaithful Jews during the wilderness journey to be an example for them. In 1 Corinthians 10 verses 11 and 12, after describing the mistakes the Jews made out in the wilderness, he said, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Take heed, lest you fall. Paul wrote this to New Testament Christians who could hear the gospel and believe it and become a child of God through faithful obedience, but then walk away, fall away from God's grace and God's mercy. It's interesting that the story of Judas wasn't whitewashed or covered over in the Bible. He was a chosen apostle of Jesus Christ. But in the end, he betrayed Jesus. And he died separated from Jesus and God. Never forget, a preacher can fall away. A teacher of the gospel, they can fall away. A deacon or an elder can walk away from God. They can fall away. This is part of why Judas was chosen as an example for you and me. Take heed, lest you fall. Not just the Jews in the wilderness, but we learn that same lesson from Judas. And so, as I often say, let's just get down to where the rubber meets the road. Why are you here this morning? Have you ever wondered why Judas kept following Jesus? There's some answers to that, but more important is your answer to why you're here this morning. That's what's really important. Are you attending worship because your love for God compels you? Is that why you're here this morning? In 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul writes, "For the love of Christ compels us." Some have other motivations for even coming to church. Some come because they feel forced to come. Some come maybe just to keep their reputation intact, or they don't want other people to think bad about them. And so there's all kinds of motivations, but the motivation is, does love compel you? Love for Christ, love for God compel you? Are you here to please God in Christ or to please someone else? Judas wasn't compelled by love for Christ. When I was growing up in the Shell Street Church of Christ in Hilton, just a kid, every once in a while, one of my schoolmates would mysteriously show up at our church. They didn't normally come to our church, but they'd show up. And in fact, they would be attending every church service. And I was amazed. I would just marvel. And, you know, us young guys were a little slow. I'd finally catch on that his interest was obviously in one of those pretty girls that went to our congregation. And we had some pretty girls that went there. That's what compelled him. I'm not sure I understand all that compelled Judas. But obviously, love for God and love for Christ was not it. What compels you? What's more tragic than the story of Judas's death? As Satan used him and abused him and discarded him, what's more tragic? A man who had so much going for him, a man who walked with Jesus every day, who heard the lessons and saw the examples and witnessed the miracles. The man who had so much going for him became a worldwide symbol of shame forever. And sin was at the heart of it all. He had betrayed the Son of God. God's Son, born of a virgin, who came here in the flesh to save us. Now, some think that Judas did this trying to force Jesus to, you know, activate the army, to militarily take over and make his way to the throne of Israel. One thing's for certain, Judas regretted his decision to betray Jesus immediately. Immediately. And you can almost imagine hearing him saying, why didn't I think about this more? Why didn't I think this through? Was he thinking, I didn't know that it was going to turn out like this? This is always, by the way, the story written by betrayers. I didn't know it was going to turn out like this. This is always what those who are deceived by Satan end up saying. I didn't know it was going to happen like this. I didn't understand that. Judas threw the 30 pieces of silver saying, I have betrayed innocent blood. And the priest told him, it's none of our business. It's your problem. You deal with it. Listen to me. As you're being deceived by Satan, it will be almost impossible for you at the same time during that betrayal to weigh the full consequences of your sin. That comes later. As you're being deceived, you're only focused on what you want. On the pleasures or the power, whatever you're looking for, all of those consequences of that sin come later. Sin literally destroyed Judas Iscariot. He became totally hopeless, and he did what hopeless people do. He committed suicide. Matthew 27:5. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. His body hung there long enough to decay. The stench must have been overwhelming. But sin always leaves a gut-wrenching stench in more way than one. This is so tragic. Think about this. If Judas had only repented and turned back to God, if only he could have endured this storm of guilt and regret for 3 days. On Sunday morning, it could have all changed. Jesus walked out of the tomb, and Judas could have been rejoicing. He could have been forgiven. Here's what you can take home with you this morning. Sin will destroy you. No exceptions. Sin will destroy you. If there's sin in your life and you're holding on to it, you can't let go of the pleasures of that sin. Prepare yourself. The consequences are coming. Sin can destroy you, but God can save you. Through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, salvation is there. And not just, we're going to make you feel better, we're going to heal you spiritually. That's the message of God in Christ. Through the blood of Christ, you can be washed clean. And God will no longer remember your sin. No matter how intense the storm, don't walk away from God. Don't do it. Because there is always hope in Christ. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.